Amen. Let's open our Bibles, Luke chapter 6, pick it up where we left off. Just trying to figure out where you all are sitting so I can remember. It's funny, you usually do sit in the same spot, huh? Some of you don't, but most of you do. You try to get to that same spot before someone else gets it. Last time we talked about judging people, and Jesus said to not judge other people, don't judge others. There in verse, I'm on the wrong page here. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and it will be and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. It's this idea, you know, that what we do comes back to us. And he says, don't judge, but that doesn't mean that we don't discern, but we need to judge ourselves first. I think that's what comes out of this passage. He says, you know, he talks about the plank in our eye and a, you know, a little splinter in someone else's. But we're quick to see what's in someone else's eye, but we don't really see what's in our own. And when we do that, we kind of get this thing where like we're above everybody else. We're judging people. We're trying to be like God is really what we're doing. And he says that the way we act, it all comes back to us. We reap what we sow. David Guzik said, I'll repeat this. He said, Jesus shows that we are generally far more tolerant to our own sin than we are to the sin of others. That true? Yeah, we're quick to point it out somebody else's. Remove the plank first, and then we can maybe help someone else. Not that we can't help someone else, to restore someone else, but we get better look at ourselves first. Look in the mirror first. And then we can carry each other's burdens. So today as we move on, it's kind of like two subjects, but I think they're kind of related. You tell me at the end whether you think they are or not. But we talk about the tree and trees and their fruit, and then he also talks about foundations and how important they are. I think it's definitely true that our foundation, the foundation that we have in our lives, it affects the fruit that comes out of our lives for sure. So we definitely need those roots that go deep down. But let's just pick it up here in verse 43, talking about trees. He says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. And each tree is recognized by its own fruit. No good tree. I mean, some of the things Jesus said, well, that's kind of obvious, right? But when he gives these parables and stories and things, there's always a spiritual meaning. There's always something deeper beyond what he's saying here. How do we know, and again, it's obvious, but how do we know the difference between a good tree and a bad tree? How do you know? Well, you look at them in the fruit, right? You know by the fruit that's there. I want you to turn with me back to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to, and keep, you can put your bulletin in there if you have one, or keep your finger, because we're going to turn back there again later as well. But Matthew chapter 7 to the parallel passage. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. And he brings in a whole nother, in this passage, he brings in a whole nother thing about false prophets. And he says, watch out for false prophets, verse 15. Then they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. And a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. By their fruit you will recognize them. That's kind of interesting. You know, I just talked about this last passage here about judging other people, right? And now it seems like he's saying that we need to be fruit inspectors, right? Is that a matter of judging, or is that just a matter of kind of what's obviously there, that you see someone's life? You can see the fruit that's coming out of people's lives. You don't even have to judge. It's what is. It's easily seen. But Jesus said, and we're back in Luke 6:44, he said, each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. So when he's talking about fruit here, I mean, if you look at one another, you don't see like apples coming out of their body or, you know, pears or anything else. So what, when he's talking about fruit here, what is he talking about that you're going to look and see in someone else's life? What is it? You're going to have to speak up. I'm old, okay? Shout it out.
Action.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, what else?
Fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of the Spirit.
The fruits of the Spirit. Okay, yeah, that's good. What, Kelly? I thought you said something.
Attributes.
You always say something.
Attitude,
yeah. These are the kinds of things we look and we, you know, because we live with each other or we deal with people where we work and at school, at home, whatever. And these are the kinds of things we see, the character of someone's life and the conduct, the action. What is coming out of their lives? And Jesus said, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. He's talking about a good tree and a bad tree here. So it's not just words, though he's going to bring out here in this passage that words also are part of our fruit. We'll see that in a minute. But what's coming out of my life? What's coming out of your life? What do people see when they're just with you? And they're not necessarily judging you, but they're just with you and they're going, wow, is it something good? Is it like tasty fruit or is it like rotten fruit? What do people see when they are with you? What do they see when they're with me? It's a question. And again, this kind of gets back to looking at ourselves and seeing, and Jesus is pointing it out, like what kind of person am I? What kind of fruit is coming out of my life? What do people see when they're around me? Oh, that grouchy old rich. All he ever does is complain. All he ever does is talk bad about people. All he ever does is, you know, have you said that about me? Wait a minute here. That's the question, isn't it? David Guzik, again, he said, the fruit is the inevitable result of who we are. Who we are affects what comes out of our lives. It's not like we're putting on a show. It's not like we're making things happen. It's just part of who we are in of ourselves. Verse 45, he says, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his where?
Heart.
In his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. So it gets back to the heart here. Again, as David Guzik said, it's kind of like who we are. Well, not... it's not a show. It's like who we are in the very depths of who we are, the being, and that gets to the matter of the heart. Jesus always goes to the heart anyways. He always kind of pinpoints right to our hearts. But he says here, what is in our heart is what comes out. That's why God wants our hearts. He wants to work there. He wants to work deep inside of us because that's where it all happens. It's not some superficial thing. I'm a Christian and it's just a big superficial thing that I put on. No, He starts, and we've seen that, right? We've seen that in history. We've seen that maybe people around us, they act like Christians. They put on this show maybe on Sunday or whatever, but out there in the real world, something very different is coming out of their lives. Coming out of our lives, I should say. But God, He starts the work from the inside out. He starts at the heart, you see. That's where He wants to work. That's where God wants to get in there and work on you and I. But you know what? For that to happen, what do we have to do? We have to let Him. We have to let Him in. We have to surrender. We have to say, okay, here I am, work, do this in me, because I realize that I can't do it. I realize that what is there is not a good thing. He says here that the good man brings good things out of the good that's stored up in his heart. It's like, what are we storing up in our hearts? What are we allowing into our lives that we're storing up? There's a verse in Proverbs I really like. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Eventually, we may be able to fool people for a little while, but eventually what is in our hearts, it's going to come out and people are going to see it. It's just reality. It's just the truth. So guard, he says, your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The last part of that verse there, before we move to the second section, he says, for out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Someone called it like a barometer, right? A barometer. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Our words. The words that come out of our mouths, they reflect what's in our hearts. Some of you never talk. Some of you talk too much. The problem is, whatever's in there, it's going to come out eventually, and it comes out often by the words that we say. Maybe we just got some, a lot of pain in there, and these bitter words are coming out. Maybe we need to allow ourselves, allow God to come in there and bring some healing, bring some help to those deepest parts of our lives that He can bring the healing that we need, you see. I wonder if we had a little tape recorder and we carried it around with us all day long, and then we played it back and we listened to the words that came out of our mouths during that day. What kind of reaction would we have? Would we say, well, that sounds pretty good? Or would we go like, I said that? Man, that doesn't sound real good. Like, I was saying those things? I was swearing like that? I was, speaking, way out like this and just judging and saying all these things about people, and wonder what we would say. Wonder what would happen. What is the barometer? What is, again, it's reflecting, as Jesus said here, out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. So it's reflecting what's in our hearts, the words that come out of our mouths. I got a few different versions of this on the screen. He says, for out of the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And someone said this, the mouth simply echoes the thoughts of the heart. One speech is a good barometer of his spiritual condition, i.e., anger, bitterness, or cheerfulness and love. Again, It's not just what we're saying, but is it reflecting what is deep within us? And that's what Jesus is saying here, isn't it? All the more reason for you and I to allow the Lord to work deep within our hearts. We need it. I need it. Each and every day. It's not a one-time thing. You receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're all perfect, and everything is great, and your life is just going to be... How many of that has worked out for you? Buddy? It's work. God has some work to do in this, right? And it's a long-term work. It doesn't happen overnight, but you know what does need to happen is you and I need to surrender and allow Him to do the work within us that He wants to do. He's not, you know, He doesn't force Himself upon us. The Holy Spirit doesn't make us. He looks for hearts that are surrendered to Him, that are willing and open and honest. Okay, part two. Talking about foundations, and what he's getting to in this passage is application, I think. It's not just philosophy, it's not just words that we look at, but he talks about the wise and the foolish builders in this passage here. Verse 46, he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Man, Jesus, he just like says stuff, you know, like he gets right to the point, right? We can say, you know, we can say, well, Jesus is my Lord or whatever, and Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I say?" It's not adding up here. I looked up the word Lord, and the definition is this. I have it on the screen for you. It's master with authority over our lives to do whatever he says. And also says this, he to whom a person belongs. He to whom a person belongs. So if we call him Lord and we say, "Jesus, you're my Lord," or "You're my Lord and my Savior as well," is he really the master? Does he really have the authority over my life? Is he really the one that I belong to? That's real different, isn't it? Than just using the word, than just, you know, saying the words. In the book of Acts, in chapter 10, I can't think of the word for this, but when Peter's talking to Jesus, he says, in the same sentence, he says, "No, Lord." He says, "No, Lord." Jesus tells him to do something, or that he was going to do something, and Peter says to Jesus, "No, Lord." You can't put the... What's the word? Some of you English people know the word I'm talking about. Pardon?
Oxymoron.
Just call me a moron, it's okay. But when we're like Peter, you know, Peter had a lot of growing to do, right, in his life, and he did. He grew an awful lot, but he was like that at this place. And no, Lord. You can't say these things in the same sentence to the Lord when he's telling us what to do, when he wants to do a work in our hearts and our lives. Paul, the apostle, in Acts chapter 9, the chapter before it, he says this, "Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do?" Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Verse 47, he says, "I will show you what he is like who comes to me and he hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep, and he laid the foundation on rock. And when a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. And the moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. It's like laying this foundation on a rock, you see. How many of you are builders? Any builders in this room? I got a builder here. I got another builder. You know, what is it all about here? I just read the passage to you. He's talking about this foundation, but the foundation is actually applying the Word of God. And when we do that, our lives are built on the rock, he says. I've seen pictures of houses with foundations that were all cracked and the house starts to shift, right? And what do you need to do? You need to fix the foundation to get it right. He says we need to build on the rock, right? We need to build our lives on the rock. And who is the rock? Jesus is the rock, right? The Old Testament talks about, you know, the Lord God being the rock of our salvation, the rock in whom we take refuge. But Jesus, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that rock was Christ. So we have these concepts he's talking about here. And again, we have to think about, well, what is he talking about here? He's talking about building a house on a rock. Well, how do I do that? What does that mean? But he explains it, doesn't he? In verse 49, he says, the word, the one who hears my word, he says it in verse 47, who hears my words and puts them into practice. The one in verse 49, who hears my words and does not put them into practice. This building on the foundation is putting the word of God, the word of Jesus, in action in our lives. We're applying them to our lives. How do we do that? Again, it's a work of God, the work of the Holy Spirit wanting to work in our lives. But first and foremost, we need to open our Bibles to hear the Word of God. If we never open it, how are we ever going to apply it? How are we ever going to get anywhere with the Word of God if we never open it? You know, I talk about this all the time. Why? Because it's absolutely crucial that you and I spend time with God in His Word. It's absolutely essential, absolutely crucial. You say, well, I'm not growing. Well, do you spend any time in the Word? Do you ever spend time with God and open His Word? It's got to start there. We see in this passage, too, that these foundations that are in our lives or lack of foundations, they get tested. How do they get tested? What do we see here in this passage? The flood. The storms come. The torrents come. The storms of life, they test the foundation that we have. You know, I just wish that life was just real simple and that, you know, there would be no storms, no testing, no trials, no troubles, no afflictions, no hurt, no pain. Wouldn't that be nice? And that's what happens as soon as you become a believer. It's like perfect from then on out, right? But it's not like that. And life is not like that. And these storms and stuff that come, they really test what kind of foundation we have. They test what kind of relationship we have with God or not, right? David Guzik, and I love David Guzik, and I read his commentary in the Blue Letter Bible, which I recommend highly, and I've spoken about that many times as well. But he said this: Jesus warned that the foundations of our lives will be shaken at some time or another. When a flood came, not if. The stuff in our lives, we're going to be tested. And if it's built well, if it's a good, strong foundation, then we'll be okay. Matthew chapter 7. Let's turn back there again if you've got still got your finger in there. Matthew chapter 7. I didn't put anything in mine. I got to look it up again. Matthew chapter 7, verse 25. Let's start in verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. He had this solid foundation. He says those who heard the word, heard Jesus' words, and he put them into practice in their lives. That's what's building this foundation. If we just hear the word, maybe you go to church every Sunday, maybe you even listen to Bible teachers on the radio or television or whatever. If we never apply them and put them into practice in our lives, there's nothing there. It's just like smoke and mirrors. There's nothing there. But Jesus said, on the other hand, the one who hears them and puts them into practice, we're building this foundation. Matthew 7, verse 26, he says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Can you imagine like building a house on sand? I got a picture here somewhere, I thought. Oh, I think it was back. I love this little picture. Is that the house that we have, the one on the left or the one on the right? And that's exactly what happens. We wonder like, why is my life all crumbling and it's all crazy, crooked, and just falling when these things happen? Because we have no foundation. We have no application in our lives. We haven't applied the words of Jesus, put them into practice in our lives, and we wonder why we can't stand. Because we're building our house on sand, because we're hearing, but we're not applying. What does James? Who can tell me what James, how James was related to Jesus? Half-brother. Thank you. He said this, and I've got this in three different translations. And you can, you know, in the Blue Letter Bible, you can find a verse, and then you can go, and it'll give you like 20 different translations, and even in other languages. I stick to the English. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. James is like pretty hard-hitting. Do what it says. I think he got some of this by living and growing up with Jesus, I think. Just the way he kind of like. New King James, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We're just tricking ourselves, deceiving ourselves. And the New Living Translation, he says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. You've got to do what it says. If we don't do what it says, we're just kidding ourselves. I know, and I've been around a little while to know that life is difficult, you know. And if we don't have a foundation, if we don't have something, if our lives are not built on a strong foundation of following after Jesus and His Word and putting His Word into practice in our lives, we're not gonna make it through the storms of life. Because our faith and our profession is tested by storms and trials and hardships. And these things come along. They test our faith. They test what we're professing to see, is it really real? Is it genuine? And what's in our hearts will come out. And he allows these trials and troubles to test what's there and to show what the foundation is. To hear the word and put it into practice. Apply it. Do what it says, James says. Just do what it says. It's a challenge, isn't it? It's a challenging message. But Jesus wasn't afraid to challenge us. Like, are you going to follow me or not? You know, look in, what is it, John chapter 6, you know, Jesus, you know, kind of he pointed out, you know, you're gonna follow me, and he kind of used that illustration of the blood and or not. And it says that a whole bunch of people, it says they turned away and they stopped following him because he says, are you gonna get with it and get real or not? And what did Peter say? Anybody remember? Where else can we go? Who else are you going to follow? Who else are you going to build your life on? There's no one else worth building our lives upon. There's no other, you know, philosophy, no other faith, no other, you know, pattern of life, no other, you know, the things that this world has to offer to build our lives upon them. No, not going to stand. We're going to be like that little picture where the house just starts to get crooked and that. But Peter says, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You only, I can add, have the words of eternal life. Let's pray together, shall we? Gracious Heavenly Father, we do humble ourselves. We do bow our hearts before you right now. And we're human and we're not perfect and we know that. But Lord, you want to do a work. You want to work in our hearts. You want to work in our lives. You want to have our hearts and have our lives. Forgive us for thinking that we can do it ourselves and do it without you. And thinking that we got it all together. Forgive us, Lord. We desperately need you. Can't do it without you. I pray for each person here today, Lord. You know their hearts. You know what they're even thinking right at this very moment. And you know maybe what's going on. And not maybe, you do know what's going on in their lives. But maybe you're trying to get through to them. And each one of us, we have our trials and troubles, and you want to reach into our hearts and speak and do a work there as we fall before you. Have your way, Lord. Have your own way in our hearts and lives. I thank you that you're faithful and that everything that you do is built and comes out of your love for us. That you love us so much. You proved it. You gave your life for us that we can now give our lives back to you. And Jesus, I thank you that you came to that cross and you said that there was no other way. And you went and you willingly gave yourself to be beaten, tortured, crucified. And your life was given on that cross, that your death paid for the sin that we committed. You never did anything wrong. You had no sin, Jesus, but you died for my sin. You were buried and you rose from the dead, conquering death. And all we had to do was look to you, look to the cross, trust in you, believe in you. I pray for any that have not made that step, that have not surrendered to the cross of what Jesus did for you. Today is a good day. It's a beautiful day to say, Jesus, I trust in you. I believe in you. I trust in God, my Savior, Jesus Christ. And I surrender as well and call you Lord, that I might live for you and do what you ask me to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's all stand and sing together, shall we?